Hi, you are listening to EAA Radio, 1210 AM, 93.1 FM, and around the world at www.airventure.org/radio. This is Magneto Mel with Push to Talk here on Tuesday, second day of AirVenture. And I'm joined by Miles O'Brien with, you get a film called Over Africa?
Yeah, by the way, you can call me Manifold Miles if you like.
Okay.
You know, I kind of like that Magneto thing. That's good.
Start your day with Magneto Mel. There,
yeah, yeah. Manifold Miles. And we could do a team. We could do a morning drive time thing.
I think we're here.
Fly time. Oh, we are. That's right. It's great to be here. Yes, Over Africa is the movie. It really, the world premiere is tonight here at the Theater in the Woods, 8 p.m. Central Time, local time. The basic story is this. I am a board member of the Lindbergh Foundation, the Charles A. and Anne Murrow Lindbergh Foundation, which has helped out this year in a very interesting campaign to train Kenya Wildlife Service bush pilots on how to fly with no less than Patty Wagstaff as their teacher. They fly low, they fly slow, they fly huskies, they fly super cubs. It's extremely dangerous flying. They get shot at by poachers. They're hundreds of miles away from any airstrip, much less any help.
Now, with Patty Wagstaff, they're not doing the aerobatic over Africa.
Well, you have to do a little bit of that to know how to fly low and slow safely,
okay.
Right?
Yeah,
exactly. So at least that's how she rationalizes it anyhow. and that's how the pilots enjoy it immensely. But the whole notion of being at, 90 knots and 100 feet off the deck trying to track elephants or poachers, it doesn't take much to end up on the deck. And there's a lot of forced landings, a lot of crash landings that have occurred over the years. And there's even been a Kenya Wildlife Service Super Cub that got speared by a poacher who obviously was either very lucky or a good shot.
I don't think they have a procedure for that in the AIM.
It's not in the AIM, but maybe we'll have to come up with an amendment. I'm sure the FAA can work on that. They'll get 27 people working on that. But it was a fascinating experience seeing really a cross-cultural experience, as we saw the people like Patty Wagstaff and John and Martha King over there giving them the kind of really the best instruction in the world in a place where it's very difficult to get any instruction at all.
How did they get involved with that? How did Patty Wagstaff and the Kings end up coming on board with something like this?
The key to this whole thing is a gentleman by the name of Bill Clark, who is from Israel. He works with the Israel Wildlife Service. He's absolutely on a crusade to save the elephants. And he's been very helpful to the Kenya Wildlife Service over the years in any way he can. And he happens to be a pilot. And so, and an aerobatic pilot. Imagine all these things kind of coming together. And he was looking for people to come from the United States to help them train. This is about 10 years ago. Happened to be reading Patty Wagstaff's autobiography, Fire and Air, at the time. In her book, she talks a lot about her love for the environment. He said, well, wait a minute. Good stick. Love of environment. So he started calling her. And she kind of blew him off for a while. And finally, eventually, she said, why am I being resistant to this? And she went over, started teaching them, and the whole thing has snowballed. And now the dozen pilots of the Kenya Wildlife Service every year get this intensive week with Patty Wagstaff this year. Rich Sugden also joined her, and of course John and Martha King. It gives a primer that we could all hope for on aviation. And they walk away much better, much safer pilots. And over time, the number of forced landings, the number of crashes has diminished. So they're safer. So ultimately, they're doing their part to save these giant animals that are under such threat in Africa. So this movie captures the essence of that and this cross-cultural connection between many of these pilots, some of the Maasai from the Maasai, which are nomadic, cattle herders of Kenya, not a lot of aviation tradition there, who go out of their way to become pilots, first of all, join the Kenya Wildlife Service, and are so driven to be in the air. It's a tremendous story of love of aviation and love of animals.
And that's got to be a very interesting dynamic to work with from an instructional viewpoint, because culturally speaking, you've got industrialized experiences, and a lot of times when people don't have these same, and this is where what I do comes in, but they don't have the same perceptions of what you see, and visual is very
everything.
Instrumental
yeah.
in aviation, so there's some things to overcome. That would be interesting to how they're...
What's interesting about it is that's a really interesting point, because they truly view the world...
It's a different environment.
...in such a different way.
Right.
And for me, I in talking to them, I was like, gosh, you guys don't have handheld GPS? They're like, well, we know where we are all the time. And there's no way you and I would be so dead lost.
The Inuits, that can navigate completely featureless terrain.
How do they do that?
And I can't help but think that these skills, and not just teach them our way of flying, but, you know, what can we bring from their experiences that can enhance our experience in this Western culture and our understanding of this activity?
That's the interesting thing about this, is it really becomes a two-way street. And ultimately, some tremendous friendships are forged as a result of that. It's a, you know, it really was, it was such an exciting thing to see, because you have the eager students and the eager teachers, but each does that role at one time or another, right? The role is swapped, right?
And now, how long has the project been going on?
Well, you know, of course, aviation has been a component of the Kenya Wildlife Service mission for 25, 30 years now. And with, you know, these huge game parks, you know, the size of, you know, decent-sized U.S. states, there's no way to effectively patrol those on foot or with a Land Rover. You have to have airplanes in order to protect these animals. And what happens is these poachers come in from Somalia. And we know enough about Somalia to know it is lawless, governmentless, and they're armed to the teeth. And they can come in, take a rocket-propelled grenade, take out a rhino, and make $1,500, $1,600. Now, these are people that in the course of a year would make $200, $300. So imagine...
It's a different economy. So,
yes,
yeah.
It is. So this is a huge bonanza. There is tremendous incentive to kill these animals off for their horn or for their tusk. It's awful. And so how do you stop that? How do you stay? It's a porous border. They're armed to the teeth. Aviation is the answer. This is a, you know, in this whole context of this show of the Fly for Life theme, this fits in perfectly. This is how aviation helps us in so many ways. This is the message that we as aviators need to constantly bring out to the rest of the public when they start talking about the guys, the fat cats from Detroit flying to Washington in their Gulfstreams. Aviation—that's a fraction of the story of aviation. Unfortunately, it got way too much attention.
What can we bring from their experiences that can enhance our experience in this Western culture and our understanding of this activity?
That's the interesting thing about this, is it really becomes a two-way street. And ultimately, some tremendous friendships are forged as a result of that. It's a, you know, it really was such an exciting thing to see, because you have the eager students and the eager teachers, but each does that role at one time or another, right? The role is swapped, right?
And now, how long has the project been going on?
Well, you know, of course, aviation has been a component of the Kenya Wildlife Service mission for 25, 30 years now. And with, you know, these huge game parks, you know, the size of, you know, decent-sized U.S. states, there's no way to effectively patrol those on foot or with a Land Rover. You have to have airplanes in order to protect these animals. And what happens is these poachers come in from Somalia. And we know enough about Somalia to know it is lawless, governmentless, and they're armed to the teeth. And they can come in, take a rocket-propelled grenade, take out a rhino, and make $1,500, $1,600. Now, these are people that in the course of a year would make $200, $300. So imagine...
It's a different economy. So,
yes,
yeah.
It is. So this is a huge bonanza. There is tremendous incentive to kill these animals off for their horn or for their tusk. It's awful. And so how do you stop that? How do you stay? It's a porous border. They're armed to the teeth. Aviation is the answer. This is a, you know, in this whole context of this show of the Fly for Life theme, this fits in perfectly. This is how aviation helps us in so many ways. This is the message that we as aviators need to constantly bring out to the rest of the public when they start talking about the guys, the fat cats from Detroit flying to Washington in their Gulfstreams. Aviation, that's a fraction of the story of aviation. Unfortunately, it got way too much attention. Stories like this, stories like the missionaries who I've been meeting over at the Aeroshell Square, who do these tremendous missions and flights and under great danger to help people. That's what aviation is all about.
Yeah, and for me and a lot of other people, also just the freedom to travel. Yeah. But here's some purpose associated with that as well. So.
Well, you know, as somebody said to me last night, one of the missionaries said, you know, really, in the broadest sense, at 37,000 feet, airplanes represent hope. And that there's a whole bucket we can put in that. You and I have the hope to be free and enjoy the freedom and love it. But for people in a village in Ecuador, you know, an airplane means hope for medical care, right? Or if you're a sick cancer patient.
Well, angel flight.
Angel flight.
Yeah,
hope.
Part
a trip
of angel flight.
To, yeah, so you know how that goes, right? A trip to the Mayo Clinic. That's hope. Or in this case, with the Kenya Wildlife Service pilots, it's a hope we all have to protect these big animals that are so endangered.
Well, I know so many people, when I say so many, I mean, it's not scores of them, but more than you would think, that go to Africa to just do bush flying and for the coolness factor, just to go somewhere, have a different flight experience. And this is a little bit loftier.
I like that term. Magneto, that's a good one. Loftier. I wish I had used that in the piece. Maybe I'll use that in the introduction tonight. I will use it with credit.
It's all yours.
It is lofty indeed. Yes, it really is.
It's a nice aviation term.
I love it. I love it. I walked away from it with a real appreciation for commitment, for love of aviation. Yes, we all have that.
Right.
But to combine that with another passion, that's when the magic really starts happening.
Well, and something that does such a service as well. Yeah. You know, not just to combine passion, but it's useful, not, you know, for the poaching experience and also for the Kenyans that want to do that. And there's so much that sounds like it comes into this.
Yeah.
So when did it get parlayed from, it's been going on 25, 30 years as a project,
right,
in general, just sort of evolutionarily. Was the film also an organic development?
Well,
you kind of set out to deliberately say, okay, we're going to document this now?
Well, that's the other piece I wanted to talk about. It's the Lindbergh Foundation, which is a group, we are, you know, many of us aviators, of course, with the heritage of the Lindberghs. We are committed to seeking out technological answers to environmental problems. In other words, the notion of being a tree hugger is all well and good, but hugging trees is not going to save our planet. So let's find some novel ways.
I'm a card-carrying member. So.
Okay, well, good. So there you have it. So the Lindbergh Foundation, that's the bedrock foundation of the Lindbergh Foundation. And we're this year, we're focusing much more on aviation issues, how we can improve aviation and make it easier on the environment and give people the sense that aviation is doing something about this issue. So this was just a logical thing to support. So the foundation made the decision to support these flights and Patty's mission because it's expensive to go over there, as you can imagine. And me as a board member, I was like, well, this is an obvious story. And this is a story we need to tell, not just in the context of the Lindbergh Foundation and its mission, but for aviation in general, this story needs to get out there. And so it was, you know, I had left CNN, I had some time on my hands, and I had a camera, and my lovely wife Sandy wanted to come along. We had the trip of a lifetime, and I got to tell this amazing story. It was really, I didn't know what to expect. You know, you grow up watching Wild Kingdom or Discovery Channel.
Right.
And until you've been there and seen those beautiful animals, you don't really understand how important it is to protect them.
Well, how can people hear, see it while
everybody
here this week,
who can hear me now,
tonight?
It's over Africa, and it'll be at the Theater in the Woods tonight at 8 p.m.
Okay.
And it'll be a world premiere showing. I'll be there. Patty will be there. John and Martha King will be there. We'll take your questions. We'll talk a little bit about the movie. We'll talk a little bit about the Lindbergh Foundation. And then I'm going to post it. We'll have it online. So if people go to just Google the Lindbergh Foundation, lindberghfoundation.org, and we'll have a link so people can go watch it after the premiere tonight.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. For our listeners that aren't going to be able to make it tonight. So there you go.
Because we're talking to the whole world, aren't we?
So parts of it, at least.
Go Magneto. That's what I say.
This is Miles O'Brien. Thank you very much. This is Miles O'Brien, and he's
manifold
here to talk
Miles.
About his
manifold
Miles. That's right. Manifold Miles with Magneto Mel talking about his film Over Africa, which you can see tonight at Theater in the Woods. You are listening to Magneto Mel on EAA Radio, 1210 AM, 93.1 FM, and around the world on www.airventure.org/radio.